A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the DPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
ECR.
I live out in western New Jersey. I live out past Princeton.
Oh, yeah, that's a hike right there.
Yeah. You're very far. Anybody is welcome out here anytime you like. Got a little fire pit. I've got a smallish pool. I've got cable.
You don't want us to go.
I absolutely do.
You're not defining I'd love for you guys to come over. You just like when any people happen to stop by and come over. Make an offer and throw it down here.
All right, Memorial Day. Come on over.
Yeah, I can't make it.
Yeah. This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. The show is DCR. Rick out today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Carlin, doing yeoman's work. Terrific
what
job.
What is a yeoman?
Great question, Carlin. Every time people say that, I have no idea what they're talking about.
I guess it's a positive, though, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, I take it as a positive. I just don't know what a yeoman is.
I don't think a yeoman is like a person or a thing. I think it's a descriptor.
Maybe.
It's an adjective?
I thought it was a person. I thought it was a
thing. You think the, like, Joe Yeoman?
Like yeah. And I'll tell you what, I actually just retweeted this. You know what looks like a yeoman? Sean Reed Foley on the postgame last night. Take a look at Twitter. The look, he has got a cut-off tee exposing the tatted-up arms and completely shaven. Like, it's not a good look. It's like he looks like the guy that's at my pool party.
Mm.
That's what he looks like. Yes.
Along with the Yeoman family.
Yes.
The Yeomans.
Yes. Did you look up Yeoman, by the way?
That is.
You're not kidding, by the way. The mustache.
The
shaved head. The cut off T-shirt. Yeah, no.
Straight out of Alabama.
Like that kind of party.
Yeah, that's a party. Did you look up Yeoman, by the way?
I'm looking it up right now.
How do you think you spell Yeoman? Is there an E?
Yes, there is, and I actually knew how to spell that. Y-E-O-M-A-N. Yeoman. It's a noun, Dave. Historical. A man holding and cultivating a small landed estate, a freeholder.
Well, congratulations.
Or a servant in a royal or noble household, ranking between a sergeant and a groom, or a squire and a page.
There you go.
So that's Chris Carlin the last couple of days.
Yeoman's work. All right. Got it. So Carlin has stumbled upon the odds for the opening round series, which are already set for the NBA postseason. I have no idea what they are. Canty, we didn't even tell you because we didn't want you to get a chance to look ahead.
Okay.
Chris, are you ready?
Yeah, so this is for the four series that are set.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to do the Knicks last?
I think we save the Knicks for last. Now, we're doing this on a money line basis, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Odds to win the series.
Okay.
And there is one very live number in here.
Okay, so give us these series. Walk us through them.
All right, so we obviously have in the East.
Well, let's just start with the first one. Go ahead. In the East, we have?
The Bucks and the Heat.
The Bucks and the Heat.
3-6.
3-6. I'm going to say Milwaukee is minus 180.
Mr. Canty.
I'm going to say they're minus 140.
Milwaukee, minus 320.
Wow.
The Heat are plus 250.
Wow, and they beat them last postseason.
Yeah,
that's what
I don't
we
know
call
how I feel
live.
About that. Wow.
Wow.
Let's jump on the train. Let's go.
That line would suggest that the Bucks got something on their mind. Like, this is a different Bucks team.
That's giving a lot of respect to Drew Holiday.
Yeah, yeah. But Dave, we talked about it, though. This Bucks team looks a little bit different than they did in years past. They do.
I'll give you that, but to be 3-1 favorites to win the series?
Versus the team that represented the East in the NBA Finals last year. I feel like that is a little bit disrespectful to the Heat.
That's a big number. All right, so we could not have been more way off base on that one.
Right. You want to talk disrespectful? This is disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Out West, the Nuggets and the Blazers, the 3-6 series. Go.
Now I don't know. I'm completely off my game. Nuggets, Blazers, 3-6 series. I'll say the Nuggets are minus Jamal Murray. I'm going to stick with what I said with Milwaukee. I'm going to say they're minus 180.
I'm going to go minus 220.
The Denver Nuggets are minus 115.
It's almost even money in the series.
Wow.
The Blazers are minus 105 in that series.
Wow.
Dame
if
time.
You're the Nuggets, that's remarkable disrespect.
Dame time.
Wow. Who do you like in that series?
I'll tell you what, like at that number, that's not, again, not bad value on the Nuggets. I love Dame Lillard. I would never want to bet against Dame Lillard. So.
Yeah, but I don't trust McCollum and Nurkic. I just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take Denver in that series.
Yeah,
all right.
You would barely have to lay any odds. All right, next up.
Clippers and Mavericks, 4-5 out west.
All right, another rematch of last postseason. I'm completely off my game here.
Come on, Rothenberg. These are the lines that are on Caesars William Hill.
I'm going to say the Clippers are minus 170.
I'm going to go Clips minus 200.
The Clippers are minus 450.
What?
Wow.
Yes. I give up.
The Mavericks plus 350.
Well, you know we're not cheating.
Right,
nothing
exactly.
Else.
Exactly.
Minus 450.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Boy, I'm very
like, I'm double-checking myself. Am I sure that this is this year?
Yeah, you're looking at right? the 2021 postseason, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, playoff Rondo, I guess.
Wow. I can't. That in a 4-5 matchup.
Yep. In a 4-5 matchup.
Okay. All right. And that brings us to the New York Knicks.
Correct.
And the Atlanta Hawks.
4-5 in the East. The Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, you know it's not going to be well thought out by us. I'm going to say the Knicks are a narrow favorite. I'm going to say the Knicks are minus 140.
I'm going to say the Knicks are minus 110.
The New York Knicks are plus 100.
So the Hawks are minus 120,
so they are a slight favorite in the series.
All right,
interesting.
So now, does that calm down all of the Knicks fans and Carlin as well that says this would be a massive disappointment if the Knicks were to lose the series?
The majority of us are saying that based off of the fact that the Knicks swept them during the regular series, as a regular season.
Which means nothing.
Exactly. So, with that being the case, it should. You should look at that and say, well, maybe I'm not giving the Hawks nearly enough credit. Maybe I need to look at this a little bit more clearly. Having said that, it's a massive disappointment if the Knicks loses.
No, it's not.
It's not,
Carlin.
This
is such a horrendous take.
I'm joking. It's disappointing because they are capable of winning this series. That's all.
But how disappointing is it on a coin flip series? Heading into it,
It would be really disappointing if they lost in 4 or 5.
You want to tell me they get swept and that's really disappointing? I'll give you that.
You wouldn't be disappointed if they lost in 5?
I'd be disappointed if they lost in 5.
Yeah.
I'd probably be upset if they lost the series regardless of I'm always upset when the Knicks lose or one of my teams loses. I think it's unfair to put this whole massive disappointment absolutely have to beat Atlanta in a best of 7 series. They have home court. They're not even the favorite to win the series.
Here's the thing. We all look at it because they have spoiled us this year with what they have done. And the style with which they play gives you remarkable faith in their ability to win this series. And it is the only matchup that anybody looked at and really felt like they had a great chance. So that's why people feel the way that they do.
By the way, this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. But here's the thing, and Canty, I think you agree. They don't have a great chance. They might win the series. This is a flip of the coin series in Las Vegas. In fact, the Knicks are slightly underdogs. So losing the series, as upsetting as it might be because you think you're just much better than Atlanta, not a lot of people around the country see it like that.
No, Dave, but I think to Carlin's point, of the potential first-round matchups that the Knicks could have gotten,
totally agree.
Like, this is the one where they have the best chance to compete and potentially win, and the fact that they do have home court advantage, the Knicks are really, really good at Madison Square Garden, so you feel like that's a feather in the cap if it's going to be a long series, and there's no reason for us to think that it wouldn't be a long series because the Knicks did sweep the regular season matchups with the Hawks, so you're thinking that this is going to go 6 or 7 games, and if the deciding factor is having games 7 at Madison Square Garden, you like the Knicks' chances, especially the way that this team defends. So, I mean, I trust this Knicks team because we've seen them give consistent effort and energy, and we know that they have, you know, that playoff type of intensity, especially when it comes to the way that they play defense. It's just a matter of what version are you going to get from some of the guys that are going to have to be role players or significant contributors in order to win this series. Like, what version of Derrick Rose are you going to get? Like, the Derrick Rose that we got the last week and a half is not what you want. Like, you know, there are going to be some young guys, R.J. Barrett. Like, what are we going to see from him in this series? Like, those guys are going to be important in terms of determining the outcome of this series against the Hawks. Because, Dave, let's face it. Like, the Atlanta Hawks, from a talent standpoint, are better than the New York Knicks. So it's going to have to be guys stepping up and being those, you know, having those moments in order for this Knicks team to be able to advance past the first round.
Absolutely. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Now, Brian Windhorst was on Bart and Hahn yesterday. Were you hosting that, Carlin?
I was.
Oh, so you're going to know all about this soundbite here then?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah, you sure do. And he says the Knicks are becoming a destination right now.
Any other player could wake up and say, I want to be a Knick, and the Knicks have the capacity to do it. And they play in New York, and they're developing their guys, and they are run by agents now who have a long history with a lot of players in the league. And people are going to look at what's happened to Julius Randle. They're going to look at how R.J. Barrett has developed. They're going to look at Emmanuel quickly, and they're going to think about being a part of that. I think the key for the Knicks is what they are doing right now is working. They are developing players. They are drafting players. I'm not sure going and trading for a guy in his 30s that may be past his prime, if that's what happens, is the move.
It probably is not the move at this point. So what not is that? Yet. Is that saying you don't want Lillard? How old is Lillard now?
Lillard's 31. What are we talking about trading for Lillard at that point? You know,
you'd have to give a boatload for Lillard.
Yeah. You certainly, I mean, Barrett's going to be in there, right?
You'd have to
figure. Who else is the picks? You're going to be giving up some picks.
Which I mean, there's not tremendous value right now.
I mean, Lillard just got a contract extension like a year or two ago, if I'm not mistaken.
And he becomes your guy. You are now built around Lillard and Julius Randle. Those are your two guys for the foreseeable future now.
I would much rather them go in a direction of getting a younger guy. Not to say that you wouldn't love to have Damian Lillard, but when you consider the assets that you'd have to give up, I just feel like if you go a younger guy like Lonzo Ball, it would make a little more sense in terms of your timeline and being able to extend that window to compete at a high level a little bit longer. That's just me.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You have to look at this more like what the Nets did. You have to, like, they developed all of that talent for a while, and then when they were ready to make that move, after they were able to lure free agents, they went and were able to make that trade because they had done all that they had done with Caris LeVert and Jared Allen and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to do it with Lillard right away, you're jumping the gun.
Yeah, you're going to have to win right away. And I don't know that they're at that point right now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlin, do you need like a few minutes to gather yourself and regroup or no? Well, I could take Omar in Brooklyn, which would give you time to, like, you know, make a grilled cheese and take the dog out and all that kind of stuff.
Well, we talked to Omar yesterday on Bart and Hahn, so I'm still recovering from that a bit.
I'm very disappointed in Omar, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say, Dave, Omar's supposed to be our guy. What is he doing calling Bart and Hahn and talking to Carlin and Bart?
He calls Michael, too, all the time.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean I have to like it, Carlin.
We're very territorial.
Yeah, exactly.
Omar claims that we're his show, yet he calls all the other shows. Let's find out what the hell is going on. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning, Dave.
Well, we're a little disappointed in you, Omar.
That because I'm, listen, the timing on my job I've been doing two jobs, and sometimes I finish at 4 in the morning and want to go to sleep and get a second job. Sometimes I do a second job, so that's why I've been not able to call you guys back. But I do listen to the calls and return and the major guys, but sometimes I'm busy.
Here's what I'd like to I'd like to find out, Omar. Omar, here's what I oh God,
I don't make a decent
you can't
living,
say anything.
You know, like
talking. Omar,
I have
hi.
Four kids, I have five kids, four boys, one daughter. So I have to take care of.
Omar, do you actually hear me at the moment?
Make a living.
Do you actually hear what I'm saying? You do, right?
Say it again.
Do you hear when other people talk when you're on the radio with us? Do you actually hear that other people are talking, or are you just like in the zone and you don't hear us?
I have one repetition with you. Like, I want to know. I don't know what time I like you in a sense, but the thing is, what type of fan you are? You get a home court, and you are saying that if you don't win this series, it's not a major disappointment. You get a home court. You just raise up the level. 13,000 crowd are going to show up in Madison Square Garden. All the momentum, all the positivity going towards your side. And you say it's not going to be. If we expect this series to be won by the New York Knicks, expect it. Don't be under home, or if we win the series, that's a gravy. No, this series has to be won. I can understand about Philadelphia. But this series, they have more playoff experience players than Atlanta Hawks.
Omar, what experienced players in the postseason do the Knicks bring to the table in this series?
Derrick Rose, Gibson, head coach, all the edges that they have, the bench player, they beat. If you say that 3-0 during the regular season doesn't matter, then whenever they're going to meet Philadelphia, that Ben Simmons had beaten Brooklyn, the New York Knicks, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Brooklyn Nets beat New York Knicks 3-0 in this regular season. Philadelphia 76ers beat New York Knicks 3-0 in the regular season. We beat Atlanta Hawks 3-0 in the regular season. We are better than Atlanta Hawks. We proved this season that we are better than them. We have home court advantage against them. I don't care if they are more talented. We just play harder. We just play smarter. We are better team. That's it. They have.
Why are we yelling, Omar? Why are we just yelling?
Because it makes me what type of fan you are. You are such a great big fan, and you think it's not good. You're just making sound like it's going to be a negative. Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, Omar, I want to win the series. You hang on, Omar. You would be shocked if the Knicks lost the series?
Shocked? I will be very, very, very disappointed if we don't win this series. Yes. It will be astonishing. Yes. Losing to, like, the Buffalo Bills lost to Kansas City is not disappointing. But this, losing to Atlanta Hawks this series in a 7-game series is a disappointment. Major disappointment.
All right, we agree to disagree. Omar, how does it make me less of a fan? Because I think there's a realistic chance that the Knicks don't win this series. I want them to win. I'll root for them to win. I'll be upset if they don't win, but how does it make me less of a fan because I think that Atlanta has a really good chance to win the series?
Sometimes, Dave, you have to take out your objectivity and you have to be a fan. The way this season has gone, 22 wins they were expecting from the Knicks. Knicks have ultimately blown out everybody's whatever assessment of it is. So you are on a ride. Enjoy the ride. And don't be negative.
I'm loving it, Omar. Listen, I got to go, Omar. You're sitting here, you're screaming. You never listen when we talk in return. I don't understand what I've done wrong here. I want them to win. I'm excited for the postseason. I'd be disappointed if they don't win the series, but I have to be realistic, can't they, don't I?
Should I just sit here? I don't know what we're yelling about!
They're just going to win the whole thing? There's no way Atlanta beats the Knicks? I don't feel like that.
No, I don't know how you could feel like that, Dave. I mean, listen, Atlanta is the best of the potential matchups that you had, but Atlanta is still a more talented team than the Knicks are. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks have the same exact record that the New York Knicks have, and had the Atlanta Hawks not gotten out to a horrendous start that got their head coach Lloyd Pierce fired, who knows where this team would be. They're 27-11 under Nate McMillan, and Dave, in their last 25 games, they're 18-7. This is a really good basketball team. I don't understand why Knicks fans are saying, oh, this shouldn't be a competitive series, like we're gonna steamroll the Atlanta Hawks. You gotta put some respect on the Atlanta Hawks' name. This is not a bad basketball team that's gonna be rolling into Madison Square Garden this weekend. It's not.
I thought Omar was cogent, salient, on point.
I don't know, 500 words or 700 words he just said, how many did you actually understand?
No, I understood all of them.
You really do?
Yes, his energy and his passion comes through. The problem is there is a major loss of objectivity in there. And look, I'm the same guy that sits here and says it would be a very disappointing end to the series, to the season that has been so fantastic. But just that, an end to a great season, if you lose in four or five to the Hawks. But when you look at the fact that Vegas has the Knicks as a betting underdog, like, they do this for a living. Like, they know what they're doing, and they are so rarely wrong. I don't think, given what just transpired during the season and how wrong they were on the Knicks, that they're going to, you know, be underplaying what the Knicks are capable of when they're setting a line. When they're talking about at the beginning of the year, they had them winning 22 games at the over-under. So I think you have to be able to look at things objectively and understand that it is a better team than you're giving them credit for. The one thing I'm really not curious about, but I really want to know where the edge is going to be, is the fact that neither of these teams has great playoff experience.
No, the Knicks almost have none.
Yeah.
I mean, Taj Gibson has a ton of experience. Okay.
And Nerlens Noel has 12 of their 18 games experience. You know? I mean, that's it. I mean, so from a Hawks perspective, how much are they going to tire out Trae Young? How much are they going to absolutely hammer him? And what kind of an effect will that have on the series?
They should hammer him in the series.
Absolutely. You just have to pray that it's not called tightly. Because if it's called tightly, they have a major disadvantage.
Major issues. Al in Holbrook. Al, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You're not going to start screaming at us, are you?
Brooklyn. Won't be easy. Listen, I understand that, as a Knicks fan, this is the series that we wanted. We wanted home court. We wanted to play Atlanta. But this series still makes me nervous. And the reason why is because I love Rose, but he has challenges sticking Trae Young. And I think Elfrid Payton sticks Trae Young a little bit better, but he's like, but when he's out there, we're like a minus 200.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yep.
What are you going to do? You want Elfrid Payton out there for his defense, but then when he's out there, we're always playing from behind. Like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing.
Yeah, Al, I'm hearing you 100%. I think the stat was with Elfrid Payton out of the lineup, the Knicks are like plus 150. Like, that's crazy to think that you're missing that kind of production at the point guard spot when he's in the lineup. But, I mean, you got to wonder if Tibbs at this point is willing to shake things up, knowing how much success he's had with having Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley as a part of that second unit. Like, that second unit for the Knicks, that bench is a weapon. I mean, that ultimately could decide the difference in this series. You know, if that group can outplay Atlanta's bench, then you're talking about the two starting lineups being evenly matched. I mean, that could be the deciding factor. So I don't know that Tibbs is going to upset the apple cart and pull Elfrid Payton out of the lineup. But at the same time, you realize that with Elfrid Payton in there, offensively, you're going to be challenged a little bit.
But yeah. Let me ask you something, Chris. As a former player, when the players understand what's going on with Payton,
mm-hmm.
They understand he's been bad. Don't you lose some credibility here at some point if you keep running him out there?
No, because the formula has gotten them to this point. Like, I mean, players are creatures of habit, and if what you've been doing all season long puts you at this point, then, yeah, I think that's something that they would be on board with staying with. The only time that you start to lose credibility as a coach is if the result ends up changing. And so I think if the Knicks get in some serious trouble early on in this series, I could understand if they react and shake up the lineup a little bit. But as long as it's working, I don't see why they would change it. That's just me, though.
I don't think they're going to. I think Peyton will start, and I think that Derrick Rose will get the bulk of the minutes at the point guard for the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
We want to go with the NFL power rankings, which were literally just released, or Kyrie Irving and what he had to say yesterday.
Kyrie, Dave, that's the gift that keeps giving. I vote Kyrie.
Okay. Carlin?
I don't know how you don't go Kyrie here.
Okay. Let's go Kyrie here. He wants you to understand he doesn't want to talk about basketball, though. Here is Kyrie Irving.
You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. A lot of stuff is going on in this world, and basketball is just not the most important thing to me right now. There's a lot of stuff going on overseas. All my people are still in bondage all across the world, and there's a lot of dehumanization going on. So, you know, I apologize if I'm not going to be focused on y'all questions. You know, it's just too much going on in the world for me to just be talking about basketball. I got focused on this shit 24/7 most of the time, but it's just too much going on in this world not to address. You know, it's sad to see going on. And it's not just in Palestine. It's not just in Israel. It's all over the world, man, and I feel it. I'm very compassionate to all races, all cultures, and to see a lot of different people being discriminated from upon or against being discriminated against based on their religion, color of their skin, what they believe in. It's just sad, you know. You know, we all say we're human beings and we care and we're compassionate, but, you know, what are you doing to help?
Now, Canty, I hear that, and in some way I listen to it, and I'm like, boy, it's really well thought out, and it's a smart guy. But on the other hand, I think, you know, your job is as a basketball player, and you're asked these questions, and I think we're kind of deserved some of the answers. So I kind of feel both ways about listening to him there.
No, I understand where Kyrie is coming from, but his responsibilities to the Brooklyn Nets as one of their employees, as a basketball player, is to answer the questions for the media, to make yourself available for those sessions. And, you know, neglecting those responsibilities have repercussions. You saw the NBA fine not only him, but the organization. Like, at some point, you not talking to the media becomes a distraction, and it detracts from all of the positive things that you're out here in the community doing. Like, use the media as a way to amplify your message. Like, you can talk to him a little bit about basketball, but in doing that, you also open the door to be able to talk about all the things that you're passionate about, all the things that are going on in the world that you would like to see changed. So I get where Kyrie is coming from. I understand that, you know, the different traumas, you know, impact people differently. People process that stuff differently. I understand it. I respect it. But he also has to understand, like, this is a part of your job responsibility, and there's really no way around it.
You know, just use the platform in the right way. That's all. And I absolutely respect and appreciate everything that he does. But, like, there's a time and place, isn't there? There's a way to use it in a way that, you know, gets what you want, gets what everybody wants out of it. But Kyrie does not care.
That's right.
About a damn thing. But whatever he's caring about in the moment. And if that's the way he is, that's fine. I guess my point would be, if you want to go and do all these great things and take care of what's going on in the world and raise awareness, more power to you. That's awesome. This is a job. It yes. is a responsibility.
But not to him. I don't think he sees it like that.
No, he doesn't, because I can appreciate it, whether the time that he took off during the year was mental health related or whatever it is. I can appreciate if that was a problem. You know, at the time, remember, he popped up on the Zoom for a political candidate's fundraiser, all that stuff. That's fine. Then if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Give up the money. If you don't want to play basketball, if you truly don't care about basketball in the grand scheme, don't do it.
Well, I don't think he doesn't care about basketball. I think he loves basketball, but I mean, a part of his responsibilities as a player in the NBA is the media availability.
Yes.
And I think he's got no time for that, but he understands, because he's a high-ranking member in the union. Like, he understands, like, that's a part of their obligations contractually. Like, he understands that, but I just think that that's the part of it that, that's the part that he blows off. What I don't understand, though, Carlin, is why not make yourself available at the media session and answer the question the way you want to answer it? Like, people can ask you questions about basketball, but you can talk about all the things that you're doing out in the community. You don't have to talk. You don't have to answer the question that they're asking. You don't.
Why can't you do both? Why can't you answer the question they're asking and then move on to topics that you care about? He has an open forum. Everyone, if he has a statement to make or wants to say something, everyone is going to listen to it. Why can't he do both? Why every step of the way does he have to say, I don't care about you?
But Dave, I think in his mind, what he's saying is, I love playing basketball, but when we start talking about the having the conversations about what's going on, I think that he's saying, why are you asking me about basketball when there are so many other pressing things that you should be asking me about as a member of the media?
Because he's a basketball player.
And it's their job.
It's a slippery slope to try to get inside the mind of Kyrie Irving, but I'm just doing my best attempt to give the other side of it and what he might be thinking. Maybe he's saying that there's so many other issues that we should have more urgency about than a basketball game.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Chris, I actually think you're right. I mean, look, the fact that there's you know, the famine and there's war and there's disease and all these things, you think, you know, we're getting crazy about basketball, but it's our thing. It's what we care about. But he, at every step of the way, tells you, I mean, this is his job, right? At the end of the day, this is why he gets paid. So I don't understand why he can't do both. I understand that he wants to talk about the other things, and I'm all for that. And I think that he has such a big platform. That's great that he wants to do that and that he does do that. But, I mean, come on. Well, he's shocked that they want to know what he thinks about, you know, the 2-7 matchup. That's what people care about with him.
No, I understand that, Dave. But in his mind, maybe that diminishes, you know, what he's trying to do out here if he takes time to answer questions about basketball when there's so many other things that he's focused on that he's passionate about.
That's great.
Maybe that's how he sees it.
If it is how he sees it, I get it, but it's not how he should look at it, because it is, you do need at some point to recognize the reason that you have the platform to make a difference is basketball. And the people who are there want to hear your thoughts about this. I mean, I don't know what the, you know, specifics are in the NBA's, you know, the collective bargaining agreement when it comes to the media and responsibilities and all that. Okay. But you can do both. You can do both, and you can do it exceptionally effectively. And frankly, you're going to get more of what you want out of it when you give what they want. You know, they're more willing to help you out and give you what you're looking for. And I admire what he does, because I don't think Kyrie is a guy that just talks and doesn't do anything to back it up.
No,
I think
he's Kyrie, not a dumb guy. Like, yes. He's an intellectual guy.
Yeah.
But I just think, to sit here and tell me all the time that I'm better than you, right, which is what he does to the media, and I don't care what you think, and I'm only talking to you because I'm forced to talk to you. I mean, how is anybody supposed to have any defense of the stuff that he's interested and wants to talk about?
Well, I don't think the stuff that he wants to talk about needs any defense, Dave.
It doesn't.
Yeah. I think from Kyrie's perspective, it's just that, you know, when you're asking him questions, he would prefer those questions be about the work that he's doing in the community as opposed to a basketball game that, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter that much because it's an entertainment product. I think that's how he's looking at it. But
and Carlin, I guess I would just Carlin come back and say, why can't you do both? Why can't you do both things?
Because to try to put those things on the same level when he's at the same media session answering questions is disrespectful to the causes that he's passionate about. Again, this is me trying to get inside the mind of Kyrie Irving. I'm not saying I've spoken to Kyrie Irving. I don't know anybody that knows Kyrie Irving. I'm just saying what it potentially could be. I think that's how he sees it. If you're answering questions about basketball and at the same time talking about the stuff that you're advocating for, maybe in his world, that diminishes the causes that he's trying to affect positive change with.
But even the way he delivers the message, too, the other problem with it is this. It comes across as, you guys are asking me about basketball. Basketball doesn't matter. You don't matter. What I'm doing is much
exactly
more important.
Exactly what he's doing.
And he's talking down to you. You shouldn't care about basketball. You should care about what I care about, and that's you know, changing the world. And frankly, in the grand scheme, he's not wrong about that. But you can also understand that their job is not to write about all of that stuff. Their job is to write and report on basketball. So you're hindering them from doing the job. Just if you want to get to those causes, I don't understand why somebody hasn't, either somebody hasn't explained to him or he just hasn't listened or cared. You will get more out of this if you play that game.
You don't think that the New York, if he called the New York Times, right, his people called the New York Times and said, Kyrie wants to do a full interview and he doesn't want to mention basketball in it. He just wants to talk about what's going on in the world and human rights violations and attacks on countries and all that kind of stuff. You don't think that he would get that platform?
No, I think he absolutely would get that platform. But, Dave, to something that Carlin just said, I don't think Kyrie Irving wants to play the game with the media.
Yeah, that's obvious.
I think that he feels like he's above that. So that's not something that he has any interest in getting involved with. And I can understand that from a player's perspective. But I always come back to, you have an obligation to the NBA, to the Brooklyn Nets, to your teammates, to try to make yourself available for those media sessions. Because if for no other reason, Dave, to keep it from being a distraction or keep it from taking away from what your team is trying to accomplish. Like, it doesn't hurt you to stand in front of a microphone and when you're asked questions, whether it's about basketball or it's about anything else, you answer them the way that you want to answer. Like, if you're there at the podium, that's all that you're responsible for. Like, we saw with Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl a few years back. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Guess what? He didn't get fined. You can answer the questions any way you want. So I don't – that's the part of it that doesn't make sense from a former player's perspective. Like, I don't get why you just don't sit up there and answer the questions the way that you want.
Because he can't do it. He can't play the game without
– That's not even playing the game, though, Dave. That's not even – you can ask me a question, and I can give you an answer that has nothing to do with the question you asked me. That's not playing your game.
Politicians have been doing it for hundreds of years.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Exactly.
Honestly, at this point, why do you need to be a jerk every time to the media? You're beneath me. I don't need to hear that every time you open your mouth. Really, it's very disrespectful at this point, no?
I mean, he's not directly saying it. There's a tone to it.
He has said it in the past, though. He has said it.
Yeah, there's a tone.
He ain't the only player in professional sports that feels that way, though.
No, yeah. Far from it.
Yeah.
Far from it. But the thing that ultimately gets, I think that has happened the most in respect to this, is that the media was the conduit to the fans, and that's why these, whatever, fines were in place or whatever in the CBAs before, that's why they were there. Because the fans are who we care about the most, ultimately. Now players have their own ways
to get to
the fans.
They can have their own outlets without even using the media. DCR, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We'll get to your calls on this just after 7 o'clock, 800-919-3776. I think people are pretty tired. This would be my guess of Kyrie Irving. But we will find out what you guys have to say in just a couple minutes. But first, let's lighten it up a little bit and have a little CM.
To cuddle.
I'll tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes. Another Tuesday and another CMT. I appreciate that.
And we will play the incorrect way again, right?
As I've said, this will be the way the years from now that everyone plays.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to take some time.
Revolutionary.
You think that we are trend-setting the CMT game.
Or you guys will get sick of it and we'll go back to the old way. One of those two things will happen. But Tom Thibodeau, one of the front runners for Coach of the Year, I think we can all agree there. We often say who votes on these things and we like when they put their name on it. Well, Brian Windhorst was on Barton Hahn or Barton Carlin or someone, and he did just that yesterday.
Considering what Tom Thibodeau got out of that roster. Guys, they're in fourth against ahead of some teams that are really good teams. The Hawks have a bunch of talent on that roster. There's one of the deepest teams in the league. The Celtics, that's a very talented team. The Heat, how talented they are. The Knicks are in front of all of them. And Tibbs was on my number one line when I submitted my Coach of the Year ballot. I think he's got a great chance of winning. But even if he doesn't, it was a spectacular year that he did for that team.
So, there you have it. There's a guy that actually voted for Tom Thibodeau to win Coach of the Year. I'm not asking you guys if you think he can win it, if you hope he wins it. Cuddle, marry, or trash expecting Tom Thibodeau to win Coach of the Year.
Expecting him to win Coach of the Year. All right. I'm going to marry it. I think that Tom Thibodeau will be your NBA Coach of the Year. I think Monty Williams is second, but you know what? I marry it. I believe that he's your Coach of the Year in 2021. And you know what? I think deservingly so. He has done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, I'm going to marry that one as well. And Dave, you're right. Monty Williams is the only other coach that would be right there on that level with him. But the turnaround, based on the expectations that we have for the Knicks coming into this season, them being back in the playoffs first time since 2013, I think that's what puts him over the top. Being able to exercise those demons at Madison Square Garden and get this program turned around is going to give him the nod for Coach of the Year.
I'm going to cuddle it. I don't trust the media. The media is the worst.
You're like Kyrie Irving. Yeah,
Kyrie over here.
Okay. Exactly.
You want to talk about something else?
No, I think there's going to be a bias out. Exactly. I want to change topics. No. I think there's going to be a little bit of a bias out west. And I think when people are voting and look at it as a whole, they may not look at the Knicks and appreciate the entirety of the situation. I'm hoping he wins. But I'm going
to cuddle. What was the, Carlin, you seem to be the gambler on the show now that I've retired.
See, this is not true.
Do you have any idea what Phoenix's over-under was coming into the season?
No clue. I'll see if I can find that out prior to the next.
Okay. RJ, continue along.
Oh, sure. So you guys touched earlier on Luis Rojas. Not a lot of faith in him long-term. The Mets, the injuries are actually incredible. Jacob DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Carrasco, Conforto, McNeil. Now Taiwan Walker, Kevin Pillar got hit in the face. There's others. We could be here all day. Seth Lugo. So, I know that you guys aren't real high on Luis Rojas, but I'll ask you this. Despite all of that, and the Mets, I believe they're last in baseball run scored. And despite all of it, they're in first place right now in the division. So, I'll ask you this. Cuddle, marry, or trash the Mets as a first place team when the season ends? Have you seen enough?
Well, RJ, in the interest of take integrity and our predictions at the start of baseball season, I will marry the Mets being a first place team at the end of the season. Listen, this is a division that we thought could be one of the best in baseball coming into the season. It hasn't played out like that, but the one thing that the Mets do well, man, that starting pitching staff, when they're healthy, like they're one of the best in baseball. And I feel like that's something that you can hang your hat on. They have an identity, which is more than you can say for a lot of the other teams in the division. So I'm going to marry the Mets as a first-place team at the end of the year in the NL East.
I can't marry it. I took the Braves to win the division. But I'll tell you what I can do at this point, about a quarter of the way through. I will cuddle it. I think DeGrom comes back, and I trust in him, obviously. Syndergaard, you have to figure at some point in June, is going to come back. Carrasco as well. Lugo as well. I think if they can tread water right now, and let's be fair, Atlanta has not been good. I think Atlanta's, a couple of games under 500 right now. So, yeah, I'm not convinced they win the division, like Canty marrying it, but I will cuddle the Mets to be in first place at the end of the season.
I'm going to trash that. And it's not that I think the Mets will make the postseason. I don't think they're going to win the division. I think the Braves will ultimately win the division. Their bullpen's been bad so far. And they've had their injury issues. But I think ultimately the Braves win the division. Trash it.
All right.
By the way, it was 38.5 for Phoenix. 38.5.
And they won how many?
51.
51.
So they were plus, what, 14?
And 12
and a plus...
12 and a half?
12. And a half. Yep, 12 and a half. And the Knicks were plus, what, 20? 19?
19.
Yeah, what, 41 wins to 22 and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Impressive. So there you go.
So Ron Wolf is a name that some Jets fans are familiar with.
Mm.
He had some words for some quarterbacks. He was asked about Aaron Rodgers, and this is on the Big Show Network. This is out in Wisconsin. He said that he's a diva, among others, and here was kind of some of the logic behind his thoughts.
But there's a huge change, and it started with Russell Wilson, then went to Watson, and now we got Rodgers. And it appears that today's quarterbacks want to safety more than quarterbacks. You know, at my time, they're hired to play the position quarterback. That's what they're being paid for, and that's what they're being paid to do. But these guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. It's an interesting dilemma.
So, Ron Wolf going after all the quarterbacks. Cuddle, marry, or trash, Ron Wolf's take.
Oh, I got some strong feelings about this one. But go ahead, big fella. I'm going to defer to you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this. Old man shakes fist at cloud. I mean, you know, come on. Times do change, Ron. Times do change. And it's about player empowerment right now. Yeah. Trashing that take.
I will agree. I'm gonna trash it as well. I hate that in my day, this is how it used to be. Well, it's not your day, and it's not where we are anymore, and quarterbacks have a lot of power, and Rodgers and Wilson and Watson, and we've seen it. So, yeah, I don't agree at all. I will trash that take.
Shame on these NFL players for wanting to be treated as partners with this business. Shame on them for wanting that. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, Ron Wolf's take on this. Like, for so many years, players had no say. They had to just shut up and take whatever contract that was offered to them, not having any leverage. And now quarterbacks recognizing their value and star players recognizing their value, they're starting to exercise that a little bit. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Ron Wolf is tripping with that take.
Back in my day, we used to walk uphill to school both ways.
Well, yeah. In the snow.
Yeah,
it's not your day anymore, Ron.
Yeah. How about NFL teams honoring contracts and not cutting guys?
Right?
How about
what happened? What was his name? Can't think. Juwan James, is that his name?
Juwan James, yeah. How about that?
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
If you're a player,
gets hurt working out and you're like, yeah, we're not going to pay him.
If you're a player, why would you ever not work out in the team facility? Ever?
Because you might not live in that city, Dave, in the offseason.
You know what? I mean, maybe you don't work out then, really. I mean,
players showed up yesterday for the Jets? Like 80?
80-something, yeah.
Yeah, but they got a new head coach, though. So, you know, guys are trying to make a good first impression.
But I bet you there were some guys that were thinking about not necessarily showing up that once Juwan James got cut, you know what, I'll pop in.
You'll pop in. You'll check it out.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.